Well, folks, once again, I've got a great opportunity to talk with some performers for the St. Germain's Tall Timbers Concert Series. Curtis and Loretta are going to be performing on April 13th at 3 o'clock, and they've had some great performers already, and this is just going to add into another great show. Curtis, Loretta, how y'all doing?
We're just dandy.
We're good.
Yeah. We're good.
Thanks for having us,
it's
Jeff.
A beautiful day here in Minnesota.
For sure, the land of 10,000 lakes, and you'll be out here on the coast here before too long. You guys tour a lot, according to the website. You're all over the place.
Yes, we have been doing it for many years. That's true.
Yep, a lot. We go to the West Coast.
We
east,
work
south.
Very hard. Folk musicians must work very hard to maintain their level of impoverishment too.
For sure. Well, I read too on the site that you add in all these extra instruments that you got to carry along with you, and each one adds to the flavor of the songs you play. Your latest album is Lift the World, which we'll get into in a minute. But let's learn a little bit more about yourselves. Tell me the background story of how you two met on the website is wonderful.
Did you read it?
I did. Share that with the listeners. It was great.
Well, there's two. He's got his version, and I have my version.
Well, you know, I was up on a cliff. I was making bamboo flutes. I just sailed in from Hawaii, crewed on a sailboat. I'm making shakuhachis, and my shakuhachi guy decided to make. I was living with an herbalist up on this cliff. Now it's a national park, but it was just a cliff then, and it's back in the 70s, right?
Yeah, in California.
And their derelict ship, the setting was perfect, you know, the beach. And I was up on the cliff and with my mandolin, and I looked down, and there was this gorgeous lady. I saw her hair blowing in the wind, carrying a guitar, you know. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a nice guitar. I'm going to go down there. And then I realized on the way down, she was ogling me. Yeah,
no, I didn't even notice you. So I'm from Minnesota, where we live now, and Curtis is from Texas originally, but he'd been in Hawaii and sailed across to Santa Cruz. And we just happened to be in Santa Cruz at the same time for a few months living there. And I was working as a nurse's aide, trying to just get by and get my big break in theater or music. And I was practicing on the beach. I had my guitar out, and this guy came up, this is my version. This guy came up to me and said, "Hey, I play guitar." And I said, "Well, that's nice.
Good for you. Good
I'd
for
heard,
you."
I'd heard that a few times before.
Do you realize 25% of the people in the United States play guitar? I saw that statistic the other day. Yeah. Go ahead.
But anyway, but he really could play it. I met other guys that just wanted to talk to him, but he really could play. He actually ran back to his house, got a mandolin, and sat down. Like 5 minutes later, we started playing. We think the first song we played together was Suzanne by Leonard Cohen.
And the harmony sounded so beautiful that I kind of followed her. She actually had a variety show at this kind of funky little restaurant bar. So the first night we met, we did a gig together, which is kind of fun.
And it was 47 years ago.
So you guys were both in Santa Cruz at the same time, but had not run paths except for this instance right here.
Yeah.
Right.
I had never seen him before in my life.
Well, there's this incredible, you know, music seen on the street there, the Karamazov brothers and Bob Brosman, and I mean, just all these people. So I was doing that. I had gone up to pick apples and found an old national duolian. I was a triolian at a swap meet for like $35 or something. So I was sitting on the street playing that. I had been in Hawaii for a long time, and I picked up Pukshaw. I needed a new occupation.
I was your new occupant.
And then,
so we started playing music together. Yeah, we started playing on the street. And it was the first time really, really seriously played to make a living. And then we started hitchhiking up and down the West Coast, playing different places. And then we ended up back in Minnesota.
We hit it big, and I bought an old pickup truck from my uncle, a 62 GMC. It had about, I think, 1,200 miles on it or something. We just had a... Yeah, man, it had a topper on it, not a camper. We just covered the inside with carpet, and
we lived in that.
Lived
for a
in
while.
The best neighborhoods. Oh, anyway,
we actually
talk about that forever.
We actually live in a little house now in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
but we live travel a lot.
Man, that's an amazing story. I love it when music connects people, and it's just so nice. This St. Germain's location you're going to be playing is a real intimate spot. You're going to get a chance to really connect with the audience. Do you prefer these kind of more intimate sets, or do you prefer kind of a larger venue?
You know, you end up playing all these different places, and really, yeah, intimate is wonderful. I think the best thing about playing meaningful folk music are the venues and the labor of love energy that's inherent in them, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's always volunteers and the little intimate places. I mean, yeah, it's great to play for 200 people. It's great to play for 10, you know? And if you play for 10, they feel sorry for you and buy a CD.
For sure. You maybe make a little bit more on the back end there. So yeah, right. April 13th at St. Germain's, the Lift the World album, as I was reading on CurtisandLoretta.com, that kind of bore out in a couple different ways from the pandemic. So
yeah,
you had a chance to sit back, reflect a little, get the grant from Minnesota. Tell us that story.
Yeah, we actually applied for a grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board and got it to fund this recording, Lift the World. That's the title song. And a lot of the songs were ones I wrote during the pandemic. Of course, like all musicians, everything was canceled. And we were sitting here and just thought, well, at least I can write. You know, you don't need an audience, I can write. And so one of the songs on there, Karmic Closet, is definitely has to do with the pandemic, because we spent that whole first summer cleaning, organizing, just like,
yeah,
go for it.
When the pandemic showed up, I thought, oh goody, I can finally take a long rest.
Like a little vacation, but no. But by the end of the summer, that first summer, I was burnt out. And then I started thinking about other things I could organize and thought about the inside of my head. And that's when I wrote Karmic Closet and all the things that you should take care of in there, which is an ongoing thing for the rest of my life.
I mean, do you realize, you know, the pandemic was certainly, you know, difficult for many people and really sad for a lot of people, but to a dog it was absolute heaven.
Always there.
That's why I wrote a dog song for that album, is because, man, you know, dog's wildest dream, his people come home and stay for 2 years. My word.
And then they get used to it and you start to head out back on the road and they
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. They're like, what happened? Where did they go? Yeah, so he wrote this great dog song, Get a Hound.
Anyway.
With 47 years together and 47 years making music, talk to me a little bit I'm always interested in how artists and bands come up with their set lists. And is it more of a read of the audience?
Boy, you know,
in some things, or is it mostly originals? Or how do you play that?
You know, we play different kinds of stuff. We're eclectic. Business word they use. We diversified.
There you go.
But we diversified with things that we truly love, and so that's very important. But so we of course love to play our own songs, and we do history shows, so we play 19th century or whatever. You know, we've done Irish shows through the years, kids shows. We do a lot of senior shows when we're in town and when we're on the road. If you're doing, you know, like in Hoodsport or somewhere, and you're like doing the cool concert in the town, people love it if you go to the nursing home and play for their grandmothers and stuff.
Yeah.
So we do all those things. But set list, you know, that's a really good question, because many things are involved. Like you say, we play a lot of instruments, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, every time we play, we defy the laws of physics. I mean, how many 68 strings, I think we tune every time, and in between sets if we can. So you play the audience. You look at them in the eyes and you can feel what might be helpful, you know, to play. And we usually mix some traditional songs with our own. It's really cool to see how the subject matter of things that are happening now really coincides with things that were happening, you know, a long time ago. So you can set them up that way. And then we have to think what's going to stay in tune the longest. So we try to, you know,
so
there's strategic things, you know.
Yeah. And we, one of the instruments that I play is folk harp or Celtic harp. So we usually start out with that when it's really nice in tune. That's the one that might go out of tune later. And really our favorite thing to do is our originals. And a lot of those I wrote on harp.
You know, and the harp has such a magic, relaxing quality to it. It's really nice to play those meaningful, beautiful harp songs first, you know, but not too many, because you don't want people to go to sleep.
Right.
And then you whip out the antidotes like banjo and ukulele and stuff for harp. So
You can hear the music and purchase it as well on the website. Again, as I mentioned, curtisandloretta.com. There is music on the website. You guys have a whole host of collection of awards and honors that you've been bestowed over the years. Is there anyone that stands out as something that was truly like, wow, this is
that
recognition?
After 10 years of proposing, Loretta finally, and playing music, Loretta finally said yes.
Oh, we got married after 10 years of playing together. That's not really an award, though. And,
well, I consider it. I mean,
I wasn't so sure.
Yeah, I had burnout dinner candles, knee patches, all this stuff all over the place.
I wasn't so sure about it, but
it was 10 below zero. And I said, hey, let's go to Mexico and get married. I got tickets.
Uh-huh. Tickets. Let's go.
Yeah. So we've gotten several grants from the Minnesota State Arts Board and also the South Dakota Arts Council, which is great. And that means a lot to us. There's a lot of competition. But one of the coolest things, I think, is we were named Best Performers of the Twin Cities a few years ago. And that's a cool thing. Minneapolis-St. Paul is a pretty big area. So to be named the best acoustic performers.
Now, the stories and the people we've met, and I just feel absolutely privileged, you know. But, you know, Loretta wrote a song about a lady in Florida that saw a girl, Minnesota girl, on the internet, decided to donate a kidney
because this little girl was about to die since she was born.
She was on dialysis. And she donated that kidney. And we'll go into more detail when we're at the concert. I'm sure we'll play this. But, okay, so... And the little girl's still fine. Both of them are still fine.
Yeah.
And this was 10 years later or something?
I think it's several years later, that she donated this kidney.
One time we were doing this just outrageously busy tour of libraries all over Minnesota during rutting season by Canada. What means you see a lot of deer on the road, a lot of romantic deer. Yeah. Anyway, so we're up there doing all these shows and we stop in this really beautiful town in northern Minnesota.
Grand Marais on Lake Superior.
Right on Lake Superior. And we play this song, When There's Good to Be Done is the name of the song.
We played it on the radio.
Got to do it. And a few months later.
Yeah, it was WTIP in Grand Marais. And a few months later, the program director emailed me. She said, you remember that night you were here? There was a man from the next town and he was listening that night. And he was so inspired, he decided to donate a kidney himself and found someone to donate to. And it was like blown away that we could, what an honor to be the messenger. To have that connection. I mean, I would never have the courage myself to donate an organ, but that we could spread this woman's message. It just like, it was, we feel very, very fortunate what we do.
That's above and beyond any sort of border honor you could get. Knowing
that really, that is the biggest, I like
how
that.
How cool is that?
That is the biggest award.
They don't
award.
Want anything I got.
What? No donations from us? I don't know. But you're right. That is the best donation or award, I mean, of anything.
Yeah, really.
That really is.
That's amazing.
And, you know, and we just all keep, you know, there's a lot of good out there, man. There's a lot of heroes that have nothing to do with any political party or any country, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the songs I write are about real people that have done these amazing things, like that woman that donated the kidney.
I got to give a shout out to Lois and Dave, because they have been so good to us for decades, and they're just such pillars of Northwest, you know,
The music
culture
community.
and the maritime culture and they're just knowledgeable and just wonderful people, you know. I have to say
are great. It was thankful to get in touch with Lois so I could get in touch with you guys to talk about this upcoming concert again, and on the 13th of April at St. Germain's in Hoodsport, 3 p.m. is when this is. Do you get a lot of inspiration? You come off these tours and you got more ideas for songs and you're still writing, still producing?
Sure.
Yeah, we're always looking
She's a big writer.
Yeah, I write a little more than him.
I just learn parts for...
and he works out the arrangements with me. But sometimes, on the road. And especially when you meet special people. I love writing.
They have to percolate for a while sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you could have imagined when 47 years ago, when you met on that beach, that would still be how you're able to make. I love talking with artists. It's such a grind. It's such a tough profession to maintain, you know, and seeing longtime successful performers is something else. And did you ever think, I mean, 47 years later?
No, we never thought.
You know,
we didn't think. We were just kids. We were like in our early 20s, and we just, it was like, let's just do this. This would be cool.
You know, we're great connoisseurs of beans, but gosh, the people
beans and
we
rice
meet
instead
and the
of
things
steak.
We get to do and the stories we tell and the stories we're told just makes up for, you know, just about, yeah, it's an awful lot of work for short pay, but we don't care.
Yeah, we love it. And it, way back when we were younger,
it's a miracle we managed to survive.
I know. Well, we did have part-time jobs way back. Curtis is a luthier, also repairs instruments and builds them. And so he did that for many years. And I did beaded jewelry
at Renaissance festivals
making jewelry.
One of our early gigs was doing the Renaissance Festival circuit. Yeah. Talking about a lot of work for short pay, man.
Yeah, right. For years and years now, we've just made our whole living playing music. And
then one day after years of doing Renaissance festivals, I looked in the mirror and I thought, man, you don't look so good in leotards anymore.
So, that happens.
So now we really prefer doing like rendezvous, early American shows. Buckskin's much better for me. Yeah.
Have you spent much time in the Northwest performing in Washington or Hoodsport?
You know, we come out to the Pacific Northwest about every 2 years. There was a period we didn't come out for a few years when my mom was ill and I was helping her. But we have done a house concert at Lois and Dave's, boy, I think 3 times over the years, haven't we?
Yeah,
at least three times.
We were back in out there in the old days when we were hitchhiking.
Oh, when we first met.
Living in a truck, playing at the Pike Street Market. You know, and our best friends in the world, you know, we have many, but these guys are the top shelf. I sailed with them. They had a beautiful old antique sailboat out of Hawaii, 60-foot catch, just lovely.
Oh,
and we ended up in San Francisco and they sold the boat. Oh, I was so heartbroken. It was a beautiful thing. And then they squandered the money on this house on Bainbridge Island, you know? God, right on the cliff.
He's talking about his good friends from Hawaii.
I mean, it was like $80,000.
Oh, yeah, it was like we couldn't believe they'd spend that much money.
How could they do that?
It was like 1979.
They're so kind to us that we stay with them every time we're out there. So,
on Bainbridge.
I mean, we couldn't do what we do if without the generosity of people. You know, people putting us up, going out of their way, you know, and helping us out, you know, because, you know, we can afford a few motels and such, but, you know, it's hard to do it. You can't do it every night.
Not every night, for sure. Yeah. I was talking with another performer from Tall Timbers, Larry Morante, who was another great artist, artist too. He also shared some great stories of playing at Lois's house. Now in the church, it's going to be even a greater experience for the folks here watching and listening in. You know, Union, which is just around the bend, has got some rich musical history, and that the whole sound and the canal is just. It's just wonderful.
You know,
it's beautiful.
I was thinking
area.
Every time we drive out to Hoodsport, that drive right along the canal, it's just like I get this my story antenna pop up, and it's like, man, this is like a maritime niche here. You know, there's got to be old and new story. There's just this place like abounds with mystique. You know, I really enjoy that drive because I can just feel it sitting out there. You know?
It's magical.
So if you live there, boy, that would be the mind of mine. You know,
beautiful place.
For song.
Nice to be sitting out there on the water, watching the waves go by, seeing the bird and all that stuff.
Yeah.
CurtisandLoretta.com is the website. Once again, the latest album and the latest track on that, Lift the World, you can find on the website. April 13th, St. Germain's in Hoodsport, donation. But they'll take anybody in there to listen to this great performance at 3:00. I'll put the links to the show notes here. What a great conversation. It was so nice talking with you, too.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Jeff.
One more statement.
Yes, please.
I must make this. I would just like to thank community radio. I mean, we've done so many community radios, and it's so helpful. It's like people putting you up, you know. So thanks to KMAS and all the thousands of stations that are in little house trailers or huge buildings. Thank you very much for doing what you do.
Yeah,
you know, it's wonderful. You know, playing music here and there. It's a labor of love for a lot of
sure
stations.
Is.
And we appreciate that very much. Curtis, Loretta, thank you so much for your time, and look forward to a great concert at St. Germain's.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.